morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called the church to three commands: to love God, love others, and go with the gospel. We just got done going over that here 2 weeks ago, and I want us to remember that this thing is what we are, who we are, and then it governs how we move into our lives. Now, last week, I began to teach you folks that the reality of who we are and what we're doing literally goes into a spiritual battle as soon as we enter into that relationship with Jesus Christ. And I showed you how that happens and what God wants us to do, because we need protection and He has given us that protection. But now we are called to fight the good fight. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is to fight the good fight. It is not fought to take other people out, but to show them truth, love, and hope in Jesus Christ. And that's what I want us to remember, because we can fight, and believe me, there's all kinds of fighting going on out there right now. And you all know it. We see the division in our land, but we are to fight the good fight, the fight that brings unity, the fight that brings hope, the fight that brings faith and love, power and prosperity through our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Turn in your Bibles. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to be in verses 18 and 20 as we begin today. And I'll repeat that for you. We are going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now, from the first chapter, the book of Timothy, in the 18th verse, thus saith the word of the Lord: This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keep faith in a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. Among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan so that he may be taught, that he will be taught not to blaspheme. When we think about what's going on here, I mean, I want you to look at this. This good fight literally involves invoking Satan into the battle. Now, wait a minute, isn't our fight against Satan? Yes, it is. But there are times, remember, Satan is at our control as we are in Christ Jesus. Now, it doesn't mean he's under your control. He's under God's control. And when we turn someone over to God because of their disobedience, because of their disbelief, in this case, blaspheming, God is able to use Satan to bring them back into the fold. Remember, God is God. We are not. This is the good fight. It is not to take people out. It is to bring them into the kingdom. It is to show them the way of truth, hope, and love. And that's what we're going to get into today. So what is this good fight? Well, for that, we've got to go back to the beginning of Timothy, where he begins this discourse. Let us read from chapter 1, verse 2. Just one page over in my scriptures. To Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. As we urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussion, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. We know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Glory be to the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Paul here is truly talking to Timothy, encouraging him as to the directions that he needs to go, what he needs to pay attention to. And right now, we know there are all kinds of false teachers out there bringing all kinds of false doctrines into our world. They're claiming spiritual things that aren't spiritual. They're bringing in other religions and combining stuff and turning this whole thing into some mishmash or whatever you want it to be, and that's okay, and that is not the truth. You know, it amazes me when I think about all the religions of the world. In the Islamic religion, they say, it says right in the Quran, that the Bible is true and that we're to believe it. And they say that Jesus was a prophet or a good teacher. They deny his deity, but they all say, oh yes, pay attention to him. What he said was good, and let's keep that. We go over to Hinduism. They claim that he was a good teacher. They claim that he was enlightened. They claim. And they said, you know, he's one of the ways. Listen to him, but he's not the way. And then we go to Buddha. And again, the Buddhists say, oh, yes, he was a rendition of Buddha, that, you know, he was reincarnated. And then we go to the Bible. Because all these others say, yes, Jesus was a good man, a good teacher, he was something, and yet Jesus says who he was. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Before Abraham was, I am. And then he says, truly, truly, I say unto you, no one cometh to the Father but by me. For I am the truth and the way and the life. We need to understand these others are all lies. All this stuff that comes at us, this is what we're talking about. This is fighting that good fight, being able to defend our faith, having the apologetics of a sincere faith. Now, church, I want you to understand something. I just said a big word that most of you don't like, and you know exactly what I mean. The word apologetics. Oh, my heavens. People hate that. That means I have to be a theologian. You are a theologian if you believe in God. Theo, God, ology. Study of. Do we study God? That's what we're doing right now. You are a theologian. Do I have to have all the answers? No, you don't have to have all the answers, but you need to know the one who is the answer. Can I get an amen? And in that, we can move and have our being. Because here, Paul, he even shows of whom is God able to use. Paul, as we heard just two short weeks ago, Paul, who was a persecutor, a murderer of the church, now becomes the teacher of teachers, that he is teaching the ones who are going to go out into the world. Paul says rightly that he was the worst because he was literally one who was there persecuting, and now he's fighting the good fight because Jesus Christ fought for him and he believed the truth. You and I need to understand, God did not drive Paul away. God is not driving Timothy away. God is not taking any of us out. God wants to bring us all into his kingdom. God tells us from the Old Testament, I would that every man turn from sin and choose life. Oh, wow. And that's where we need to be. That's what we need to understand. And Jesus Christ truly accepts us where we are to transform us into who he wants us to become. That's fighting the good fight. I'm not here. We're not here. You aren't here. We aren't here to take anybody out. We are here to bring people in. God does not want a small kingdom. God wants the kingdom full. And this is the fight we're fighting. When we fight a war here in this world, people die, and the more numbers we take out determines who the winner is. Well, folks, that's not the way it works here, because it's the more we can bring in. The more we can bring in. It's fighting this good fight, the fight of truth, the fight that is looking at the fact that the law is good if it's used lawfully. But how many people in the Old Testament used it as an excuse? Okay? The law says don't sin, otherwise you have to do all this sacrifice and everything else. Do you realize what it would have cost these people if they'd have truly followed the law? None of them would have had anything. They'd have all died of starvation. Every animal that they had would have been killed, and there would have been no meat for food. Again, it's understanding the truth of what's being spoken here. And you and I need to realize God wants to bring us into a relationship of love and faith. And that is truly, truly where we want to see this. Because Paul here tells us that we are to give by love. And that is ultimately our charge. That this whole thing is about love. It's not about my anger. It's not about my wanting to tear these things down. Do I hate what's happening out there in the world? Yes, I do. Because I'm going to tell you all right now, they are after our children. They are after our children. And if you don't believe me on that, please open your eyes to the things that are happening in the world. I won't even go into the depravity that is out there and the things that we are seeing. How many of you saw? Now, we're recording this, and it was just this week, so it's 2 weeks from the time you're seeing this right now. 2 weeks ago, they busted 27 men in Florida in a two-day sting. Because those men were going after children off of the internet. I'm telling you right now, they are passing laws in other countries. Germany just passed a law that lowers the sentence for pedophiles caught doing what they do to children. Here in the United States, they are trying to lessen laws because it's a mental illness. Now, wait a minute. How can we say that and then say, oh, these people have full rights? Is it a mental illness or is it actually real? It's a mental illness and we all know it. It is a demonic sickness and we have to fight the good fight. We cannot stop. Because the moment we stop as Christians is the moment everything is over for our children. And we are to fight to the end. We are to fight to the end. You and I both know that because the scripture tells us in the book of Revelation, and I've shown you this so many times, that we are persevere to the end, not halfway through, but to the end. And Romans 8 and 28 says that to those who love God, he works all things to good. And as we trust him that he has given us these very realities set to us here in this book because of the fruitless deeds of this discussion that is happening, I think it is deplorable to think about the things they discuss down in Washington, D.C. on the House and Senate floors. And we have people starving in our streets. We have children who are going to bed hungry. And we have children who are literally being stolen out of their beds to be taken into the sex trafficking trades. This is reality. And we have got to start fighting the good fight. It's not just about us coming on a Sunday and sitting in the pews. There is so much more at stake. Because this is a way of life, our internal way of life. Everything that we have envisioned as the United States of America, all the freedoms that we have ever had, are coming to stake. And I dare say that that is coming to a point. And if we've read the book, if you have read the book, you know what I'm saying is true. Because nowhere in here does it speak of the United States being at a forefront, out there being able to even be effective in the end times. Everyone mentioned in the end times is over around Israel. The United States is not in the play. So something's going to happen to us. When? What? I don't know. But how many of us can see the signs of its coming? So fight the good fight. Remember, the church will be taken away before all this stuff happens. But Jesus said himself, "Will I find faith when I return?" When he comes to call his bride, is he going to find his bride? Are we going to be ready? Are we going to be found doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we going to be as the five wise virgins? Or are we going to be as the five foolish virgins? Yeah, that's where we are. So we need to fight this good fight. And this first portion is, remember, it is of love in faith. We have got to stand in what we believe, and we have got to understand who we are and whose we are and give love. And then we bring hope. What is the hope that we are to bring? Paul does not leave us undecisive on these things. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 2 in 1 Timothy. We are going to be in 1 and 2 Timothy throughout this entire sermon today. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Here we find the hope. This is the hope in faith that we are to bring. First is love. We are at war. We are fighting the good fight, but it is not to kill people. It is to make people come alive in Christ Jesus. From chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, so that they may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, as a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. When Paul is speaking this to you and I, he is giving us the very hope that we have here. And what is that hope? That there is one mediator given unto us, and that is the man, Lord Jesus himself. That there is only one Redeemer that has come into our world, and that Redeemer is the hope of all our lives. When God pours out himself, we are to pour out, and I love this. You know, it tells me that I'm supposed to pray for kings and rulers, all right? Well, we don't have a king in the United States. I know somebody that liked to be one, but no, that ain't happening. But when we think about where this is taking us, what this means to us, there's a reason we have our prayer list and we pray for our officials in Washington, D.C. There's a reason that we pray for people to be changed. And that reason is because the gospel has changed us. We may not like what other people are doing. Well, don't just complain about it. Do something about it. And according to what I taught us last week, we were told to pray. Is that not what we were told? When we went through that armor, what's the last thing we're told to do? Pray then. And that's what Paul's telling us to do here. In the hope that Jesus Christ has brought us to, that they may receive it. And we need to remember, it's all a choice. Everything that we go through in this life, everything that God brings us to in this world, it's a choice. We choose yes, we choose no, we choose maybe, we choose not right now. However we choose, we're choosing. Now, can we change our minds? Yes. And I pray that all of us choose well and choose wisely. As Pastor David has said to us, and we know and we truly believe it to be true, the reality of life is, can you stand to live with the consequences of your choices? That's the truth we have to hold to. Not somebody else's choices, our choices. If someone else has chosen it for me, I can now come against it. That's fighting the good fight. That's fighting the good fight. You come at it with truth, with hope, with love, and thereby faith in what you believe, and who you really are. When we reach out in such a manner, when we reach out in such a full way, the power of Jesus Christ is there to meet us, to guide us, and to bring not only to us, but to our hearers, the faith that is required unto salvation. And man, what a day it will be when we get to heaven and we see all the warriors who are there because we did not give up halfway through our battle. We must continue unto the end, fighting the good fight of faith. And finally here, I have two more scriptures. We are not to give up. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm going to read 3 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm going to read 3 through 13. From the third verse of 1 Timothy in 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, and evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. But the godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plague men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who testifies the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandments without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time, he who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you just listen to everything that I just spoke to you, because when we realize that there is one gospel, okay, and we are not to turn away from it to the end, is that not what we just read? That we are to flee from the things of this world, and we are to fight the fight of faith, taking hold of eternal life, which is given unto us. For we are to be men of God who pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. I believe some of those are the fruits of the Spirit, aren't they? Because the Spirit of God brings those things to us that we may truly fight that good fight. And then that we believe that Jesus Christ is that one, and he did not give up to the end, because God is there waiting for us to sanctify us through and through. And that's what verse 16 is talking about here when it's talking about that inapproachable light. That is our full sanctification, when all that is in us, all the darkness that is in us, is purged out itself. And that will happen to everyone who comes. As we walk this walk, man, I'm going to tell you right now, there are going to be things that are going to come against you. There are things that are going to come against you. There are things that are going to come against you. They're going to come against me. They're going to come against all of us all the time. But there's also good in the world. We need to be able to reflect on what God has shown us, how much he has loved us, and the goodness that is here. You know, we can get so wrapped up in this fight that we become bitter rather than better. So let's not fight that much. Because in doing that kind of fight, we literally begin to fight against God. But may we take the time to get away and rest with him. When we understand that, you know, this is part of what we're being asked for here. We must not come to that place of disrespecting or arguing or coming to a different doctrine. And that comes from a warped and twisted mind. But we hold fast to the goodness of God, which means we reflect on it. We take time to get with him. We come away for periods. And we rest. Because if you're just fighting, 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 you're going to wear out. And you're going to quit. And then you're defeated. But in Christ Jesus, he calls us to the Sabbath. He calls us to a day of rest. 6 days we are to toil, and on the seventh day we are to rest. That means give God 1 out of 7. Get yourself in church and remember, together, we strengthen one another and we fight the good fight together, not alone. My last scripture today focuses on the truth of it. Chapter 2, Timothy, or excuse me, book 2 of Timothy, chapter 4. From the 4th chapter of the 2nd book of Timothy, beginning in the first verse, we read these words. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their itching ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, and fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. As we see where Paul is leading us here, it's coming to the end of his life. Paul knows he's in Rome. He's getting ready to go before the emperor, and he's going to be condemned. Because remember, he's already seen this. He already knows. Jesus told him where he's going to go, where he's going to end up. And now he finds himself there, and he's not shrinking back. And neither should we. that we be ready in season and out of season. And again, brothers and sisters, that means live your life. Live as you know Christ. I cannot expect you or you or you or you to be me. I am me. I'm not Billy Graham, okay? I'm not John Hagee. I'm not, you know, I can name all these different pastors that are out there. You know, Tony Evans, good heaven, Levins, David Jeremiah, you know. No, I'm Rich Dubs. That's who I am. That's who God wants me to be. Nobody else. And he wants you to be you. But he wants Christ to be in you and you allowing Christ to shine through you. And that is exactly what's being spoken of here, that Jesus came at just the right time. And we are to come also that we may bring the instructions, the reproof, the rebuke, the exhortation. We are to be ready that others may know. Because there's so many people out here that are dying in this world, and we have the answers. Are we simply willing to let them into our lives? That doesn't mean you have to preach to them. It doesn't mean, you know, what it means? You invite them to your dinner table, and you have a meal with them, and you pray when they get there, and you just simply have a conversation with them. Letting them know who you are and you're grateful to know your neighbors and find something of commonality. And then you begin to live your life in front of your neighbors, with your neighbors, with the people that are around you, with the folks that you work with. You know, how many of us spend more hours at work than we get to actually invest at home? I mean, I want you to think about that. Of the hours we get to invest at home, many of those hours are spent sleeping, doing auto repairs, house repairs, mowing the lawn, whatever you've got to do, and then your family gets this much of you. Well, if you're concentrating all your efforts into this much of you at home to love them as much as you can, and now you've got this much of you out there in the workplace, don't you think you have a little bit of opportunity to show the love of Jesus Christ? Yes, we do. That means we have to be vulnerable. Oh man, that's scary, Pastor. Jesus died on the cross. He's not asking us to die on the cross. He's just asking us to be real. Be who you are. But I'm shy. I don't like to talk to people. So live your life. And if you have to, speak. Remember who you are, Christian. Because we are to fight the good fight. The good fight does not take anybody out. The good fight brings everybody in. And that's what we want. We want to bring them in. You see, the reason we're afraid to do this is because we're afraid that we're going to be the ones pushed out. Brothers and sisters, they're not pushing us out. They're pushing out our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if they're going to push him out, should we be there at all? That's the question that we need to answer. So today, fight a good fight. Remember, it's going to be a fight of your life and the fight of the life of all those that you can help. Somebody helped you. Now it's our turn to fight the good fight. For greater love hath this than no man who lay down his life for his friends. We are to lay down our life in that manner that we would truly be there fighting the fight that others may come. Not that they be laid down, but that we show ourselves laid down and they too shall follow. Pray with me this day. Father God, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And Lord, we do try to fight that good fight. And I know many here are but some are discouraged, some are disheartened. And Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen them even now, because the reality is that's all lies from the evil one. He's telling you you're ineffective, that you can't do it, that it's over your head. Well, the answer to that is yes, amen. But God is bigger than he who is in the world. And we need to understand, Lord God, that you have already overcome all these things. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto you. And to you we come this day. Father, bless us and keep us, strengthen us in all that we are and do. For these things we pray unto thee in the assurance of the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. And the church says, amen.